honored Him through song and through praise and prayers and our lives as we live it. I failed to do this earlier when I got back up. Thank you for your prayers as we traveled last weekend and got to spend some time with my dad. He's doing well. Thank you for the prayers for him and over the last few weeks in particular as well. Was able to share and preach in the church that I grew up in. They were doing homecoming, celebrating, I think it was 179 years of existence. So they're a little older than we are here. I've been around a while, and it was good to see some folks there and share about the grace of God that God has for us through His Son Jesus and behold Him in a different setting to a certain extent as well. So again, thank you. Today we're going to continue our study in the walk of faith, or the walk of faith, about seeing the invisible today. When we walk in faith with God, we're able to see the invisible. There's a small animal, it's a cat-type animal, the African impala. It's said that even though this cat is small, that it can leap about 10 feet into the air, straight up, leap up in the air 10 feet, and can leap forward about 30 feet. As magnificent as that is, and as great of a feat that can be or is, you can corral this small cat or keep this small cat in an enclosure with a 3-foot-high fence. Seems kind of amazing, doesn't it? That a cat could jump 10 feet high and 30 feet around, but you can keep it confined with a 3-foot-high fence. That's because it said this cat will not jump where it cannot see where its feet's going to land. Interesting, isn't it? Now, we know, because we've read through the Scriptures, and God teaches us this, that we're to live by faith and not by sight. But how often do we allow our sight, or what we cannot see, corral us, or keep us confined, because we can't see all that we think we should be able to see, or all that we want to see? We have to trust and have that faith in God. Today, we're going to look into the life of two men who traveled or to walk in faith with God. And God called them to something that they couldn't see. There are times that God calls us to feats or to do things that, and He gives us very little insight to, or He doesn't give us all the details up front. And though He expects us to move. Now, when we move and we take those steps of faith, we get the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and then things start becoming a little clearer the more we walk. Have you ever been on a hike where you were going to look at this scenic overlook, or you were going to go to observe this a waterfall? And when you start out on your trek, there's nothing around that would give a clue or a hint that either of those things are around. You have the testimony of others. You have a map. You have a desire, and so you set off through a little trail, and then you begin to see things might be clearing up a little bit, or then you begin to hear what you may think is water, and the roaring of that fall comes, and you get there. But when you start it, you couldn't see any of those things. Well, this is kind of how we do when we walk with God. We hear the testimony or the evidence of testimony of others, and then we have the power of God that's working in us, and we have the map that God's given us, and He leads us to see the invisible. He leads us to follow Him in faith. I want you to find in your Bibles this morning, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. If you're using the Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 174, and there you should find Hebrews 11. Remember, it begins to renumber the New Testament, so you're in part 2 of the book. Now, the two men we're going to look at today are Enoch and Noah. Enoch, we're going to read that he was out walking with God, and he just went home with God. He was not seen any longer on the earth. Noah, we know about Noah. Noah, he was called to build this ark, this huge ship, because rain was coming. Now, neither men really had a real sense of what God was calling them to, but their faith in God, they were able to see the invisible. Although they couldn't see where their feet were going to land, they were able to see the invisible God and see Him work and do some pretty amazing and mighty things. So read with me. Hebrews chapter 11, pick up in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, therefore, he was taken. He was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So they both received righteousness because of their faith. Pretty wild story though. Enoch again, he's out walking and talking with God, and God says, let's just go to my house now, Enoch. And Enoch was no more on the earth. They couldn't find him. He never died. He just walked on with God. That's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Noah, kind of unique calling, don't you think? Construct an ark. Most think that he wasn't anywhere near a lake when he constructed this big, massive boat. It had never rained, the scripture tells us, that it had never rained before. So how do you explain that? And then all those animals start showing up. Again, pretty wild occurrences, don't you think? Now, do you think God calls us to that sort of faith today? What do you think? Does God call us to do that type of thing today? Does He call us to a circumstance of life? Does He give us a plan about life and say, let's take a walk or let's build? Does He do that? And if so, what does it require from us? So what can we learn today from Enoch and Noah about faith? Well, I'm going to give you two kind of big statements about faith this morning, and then we're going to kind of flesh out a few others that will help us identify faith and how we're to walk in faith as we follow God. Now, here's this first one that we get, okay? Here's number one. Only in faith can I walk with God. Catch that? Only in faith can I walk with God. If I don't have faith in God, I'm not going to walk with Him. That's just kind of nature as it is. It's hard enough to walk with God by faith for many of us. But if we don't have any faith in God, we're certainly not going to walk with Him. What do we read in verse 6? It says, only by faith can we please God. So the only way that we're going to give pleasure to God is by walking in faith with Him. Now, we might need to back up and kind of take things a little slow here. That Enoch and Noah, they believed in God. That's what we read in verse 6 as well. The first thing that you have to do is believe that God is, that God exists. The invisible God. Can't always see God. You might see some evidences that God's around, but you can't see God. But they believe that God is. So this walk with God, and this is kind of one of those things that we pick up from faith. The walk of faith, or the walk with God, believes that He is. That's the first starting part of a faith or a life with God. You have to believe that God exists, that He is here. Now, there's a couple of thoughts that are around today. One is that if you can't prove something from a scientific measure, scientific means, then it doesn't exist or it's not worthy or it doesn't have any impact in life. Well, there's a lot of things we can't prove scientifically, you know. And since we can't prove scientifically that God exists, then God doesn't exist in many people's minds. Well, if you held that standard out, there's a lot of people in history that we revere and that we will follow and we say we've learned things from that we can't prove exist either scientifically. You can't prove that Julius Caesar existed scientifically. Can't prove Napoleon, great leader of France. You can't even prove that George Washington existed scientifically. Yeah, but we have bones. Yeah, but how do you know whether they're his? See, what we believe is based upon evidences of eyewitnesses who have passed along stories, and we buy into that because of their faith and what we learn. So you can't prove scientifically that they exist. You can't prove scientifically how the earth was formed and made. So they don't believe in creationism. can't prove that God exists scientifically, so therefore you can't prove that God created out of nothing. Well, you can't prove scientifically the theory of evolution either. They think they can, but there's still so many gaps in there that you cannot prove scientifically that the world exists through evolution. In fact, there's stronger evidences, if you're going to look at evidences and faith in this regard, because evolution requires a certain level of faith as well, is that creation is, at least you know that there's a designer and that life was created. There's some purpose in forming the world. There's some purpose in forming life. So there would be evidences more towards a creator creating the earth than just it just happening. There's also a thought that's not as prevalent as it used to be, is that, all right, if there is a God, if there is a God, then He is so vast, He is so great, He is so powerful, He's all-knowing, you can't really know Him. You can't get to know Him that well. Well, again, if you go through eyewitness testimonies and history, we have evidences that yes, you can get to know God, and you can get to know God through His Son, Jesus. John 3:16, verse we hold up in great revere and confidence. For God so loved the world that He gave His only born Son, that whoever would believe, have faith in Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus lived and walked on the earth. And when He resurrected from the grave, He had over 500 people in one instance that saw Him and knew it was Jesus. So we can get to know God. God is a personal God, and we can know Him through Jesus. See, Enoch believed God and walked with Him and was transported into heaven without a physical death. He was missing on the earth, but he was seen in heaven. Whew. Now Noah, he built an ark because God told him to. And the rain did come, and the flood did come as well. You do know there are many who believe we found Noah's ark up on that mountain over, you know, east. And many civilizations teach of a great massive flood that would have destroyed the earth. Just saying. Now, this is something else we need to grasp here about only in faith can I walk with God. The walk with God then seeks to please God. I mean, why else would we follow God? Why else would we become obedient to God? You see, if God is God, and He created all that is, and God is all powerful, and God is all knowing, why wouldn't we want to please Him? Why wouldn't we want to align our life with how He created life and the purpose that He gave life? That old adage, God is God and I'm not, and neither are you. You know, because God is God. There's none like Him. There's none compares to Him. And He is the one that has designed life for us. Now get this. Our faith in God will grow stronger the longer we walk with God. Stands to reason, right? The longer I walk with God, the more evidences of God I see because I'm practicing my faith. My faith, sometimes God will ask me to take larger steps of faith with Him, to go in places that I can't truly see, to leap sometimes where I can't see I'm going to land. But because I know God, because I'm trusting in God, then my faith increases because I prove out or I see the evidences of His activity in my life. See, faith seeks God. Faith places, this type of faith moves us to a place where we extinguish all of ourself for God. I push away everything that I am, everything that I want to take hold of what God's giving me because He has created me. And He's created me with a purpose. He's created me with life. So a faith that walks with God surrenders our will to Him. But the surrender of our will is a surrender of will out of love because He is first of us and we know His love. He would never do or never ask us to do anything that would harm us and harm our relationship with Him. So I'm going to trust Him explicitly when He calls, when He asks. Now this thing with Enoch says that he walked or he was taken. It really means he was carried across. So he was carried across the means of eternity, or carried across the means of humanity, carried across the means of creation into heaven. Wow, he saw so much more in life. If you want to read a little bit more about Enoch, you can go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 tells us a little bit about Enoch, that he was 65 years old when he started having children. Now, that's, to me, that's a little late in life to start having kids. I mean, but that's between him and God. And it says that Enoch then walked another 300 years with God. So Enoch walks anywhere from 300 to 365 years with God while he's on the earth. Wow. In the New Testament, in the little book, the little letter of Jude, about verse 17 or 14 or 15 in there. Remember, Jude didn't have chapters. It's just a small letter. It says that Enoch preached. He taught about God. He declared who God was to others. Noah, if you want to read a lot more about Noah, read chapters 6 through 9 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 through 9 will have the occurrence of Noah. And Noah, we know he built an ark. We know that he preached for 120 years while he built this ark. And I bet, because Jesus even bears this out, that in Noah's day, they were just people just like us. They were living life. They were caught up in their own life. They were the ups and downs of life. They were trying to make a way in life. And many people probably just didn't pay any attention whatsoever to Noah and what he was doing. And the ones that did, the ones that listened to his message, they probably thought he had lost his mind. I mean, how do you explain building this large ship out in the middle of nowhere, and a bunch of animals are going to come and fill it up, and then it's going to rain when it's never rained before on the earth? How do you explain rain when nobody has ever seen rain before? When I was in college, we had some guys that had moved to Tennessee. I went to Carson Newman, which is in Jefferson, Tennessee. And we had some guys that showed up that they had never seen snow before, so they didn't know anything about it. Trying to explain what snow is to somebody that's never seen it before is really difficult. This white puffy stuff just kind of falls out of the sky. And they're like, really? But it's slick. You know, it's cold and it's wet. Really? It just, so how do you do that? How do you explain something to someone who has never seen it before? Noah, you've been working out in the sun on this boat for way too long, you know. Now, what would cause these two men, what would cause Enoch and Noah to walk with God for so long and preach a message that no one wanted to hear for so long? We know Noah had no converts except his family. Enoch, because he was kind of in the same time frame of Noah, he probably didn't have very many either as well. The world was like the one we live. We don't see God, we don't follow God because we don't have the faith. We don't seek God through faith. And what's sad is many believers are void of the greatness of God because if they can't see it, they can't believe it. Many believers are void of the blessings of God, or as we read here, the rewards of faith, because if they can't see it, they can't believe that it's going to happen. And so they never take those steps of faith with God. See, if we don't give up the control of our lives to take on the will of God in faith, we can't see the rewards and the blessings of a life of faith. And what's sad is many believers never get to that point that they see the fullness of who God is. So we must know that faith is believing God and trusting in His words. And when we do that, it moves us into His presence. Faith is the only way we're going to see God. In fact, it's the only way the world's going to see God, because the more we live out in faith with God, we give evidences of God from our lives for others to see as well. And it begins by believing that God exists, and because He exists, and because He is God, we take His word and we follow it. Our faith gives the visible evidences of God. Now, this leads us to that second big thing I told you. The first one is that without faith, we can't walk with God, or we're not going to walk with God. The second one, only in a walk of faith can I have confidence in the promises of God. So in other words, if I don't have a great faith in God, then what God tells me, what God has promised me, I'm going to be skeptical of it at best. And in most cases, I'm definitely not going to have any confidence to bank my life upon it. See, if faith in God's words, we count it as fact. Even though we haven't seen the results, even though we haven't seen the reality of everything take place, just yet. We know that it's going to happen because God said it was going to happen. See, these men, Enoch and Noah, they believed in God, but they also believed in His words. See, if I can't know God, then how did Enoch walk with God and just get transported into heaven? If I can't know God and God's not personal, how did Noah know to build an ark and all those animals were going to show up? And how did Noah know that it was going to rain when it had never rained before? How did Noah and Enoch know all these things? If God's not a personal God and we can know Him, we can hear Him. Now, we have more information about Noah's life than we do about Enoch's, but there's certainly some things that we read in Noah's life that applied to Enoch. How can I say that? Well, because both of them lived by faith. And they made much to do about faith as well, because that's how they lived and followed God. Now, when there's confidence in God's promise, something happens. And this is, again, the tie that I pull with Enoch and Noah, right? There's something that happens in us when I have confidence in the faith I have with God. It means that I'm going to rearrange my life in response to God. See, walking in faith, I'll rearrange my life in response to God. See, God had a calling to Enoch and to Noah and to their life. God has a calling to your life as well. Say, no, He doesn't. God only calls people into the mission field. God only calls people like you as pastors or like David or LB or Donna into ministry. Well, yeah, He does do that. But He also calls every person that's a believer to a walk of life with Him. You see, we learn this, that every believer gets a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit hands out spiritual gifts. And that spiritual gift, when you know what it is and God's given it to you, that's your calling to your life to work in fulfilling and building the great building the kingdom of God through the Great Commission. Teach Jesus. Jesus said, teach everything I've taught you. Go to all the nations. See, that's my calling. That's our calling. The question is, will we fulfill that calling or not? Will I go through and do what God's given me? Will I fulfill the purpose of my life that God has called me to? When we respond to God's call, we really actually have a choice in the call of God. We're either going to respond and follow in faith and obedience, or we're not. It's the choice we have. But therein lies the difference. Faith, if I'm living by faith and I'm walking by faith with God, I will always become obedient to God. See, obedience is the proof that I love God and I'm following God in faith. You know, actually, those three things of love and faith and obedience, you really can't separate those in a walk or relationship with God. Because if you love God, you're going to become obedient. That's what Jesus said. Those who obey me, they love me. And if I'm loving God and I'm obeying God, that means I'm going to walk in faith with God. If I'm walking in faith with God, I'm going to love God, because why else would I have faith in God if I don't love Him? And faith, if I'm walking in faith with God, that means I'm going to be obedient to God. If I'm obedient to God, then I'm following in faith, because that's what He's asked me to do, and I'm of obedience at showing that I love. So you can't separate those three things as a believer. It's who we are. It's who we become. And when we treat the Word of God, like Enoch and Noah did, with awe and respect, it'll cause us to drop what we're doing and take up what God has called us to do. Because nothing else will matter to us in life. Enoch and Noah spent years telling and preaching. We know Noah preached over 100 years on one single command. Wow. Over 100 years doing the same thing, building this boat. Wow. Now, this reveals something else to us. Walking in faith moves me to action. You see, if I'm a person of faith and I'm following God, that means there's some action that's going to come from it. If you read closely and you go through this entire chapter of 11, Hebrews, you'll find out that all these folks that are mentioned here, their faith was known because they did something. Something happened because of their faith. They did something. What was it that we learned in Ephesians chapter 2? That we were created by God to do good works that He has created in advance for us to do. We are the workmanship of God, created by God, to do good works that He has created in advance. See, He already has a plan for your life. He's created you to do those good works. James, when we read the book of James, or the letter of James, in James chapter 2, we find that faith without works is dead. There's nothing there. Because we're not living and walking in faith, and it's not producing anything from our life. You see, when God spoke, He called them into service, and they counted what they heard from God as fact, like it had already happened, though they hadn't seen it yet. They were able to see the invisible. It's remarkable to me, again, that Noah believed rain would come when he never seen it before, just because God told him it would. He preached a message. He preached a new message and a new thing of God that people didn't want to accept, and he did the same thing over and over again for 100 years because he listened to God. Several years ago, just prior to the Super Bowl, you know, they do interviews with all the players. Well, they were interviewing this one player. He was a lineman, I believe. And the interviewer asked him, "What do you think your chances are of winning the Super Bowl?" And his answer kind of surprises us to a certain extent, because he says, "You know, our coach has a really good game plan, and if we follow the coach's game plan and do what he says, we'll win." See, they had a lot of faith in their coach. And they were going to do exactly what the coach told them to do. So that's when we have faith in God, when we're doing exactly what God told us to do. And when we do what God tells us to do and we live out in faith, that's when we experience the blessings and the rewards of faith. That's one of those other things we need to latch onto. Walking in faith brings the rewards of righteousness. Faith brings the rewards of righteousness. How did we read it? Verse 5, latter part of verse 5 says, "Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him." That at the end of verse 6, it says that he rewards those who seek him. At the end of verse 7, when he's talking about Noah, he said he became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. See, the rewards of the righteousness of faith comes when we do what God asks us to do, when we follow through. Enoch sought God. Not necessarily the rewards, but he got the rewards. He sought to please God. I mean, what an awesome thing to say about someone's life. He lived in faith with God his whole life. Wow. That would be said about me. That would be said about us. They sought to please God. Noah, he saved himself, he saved his family, he saved animals because he listened and obeyed God. Now, what was the difference of Enoch and Noah and everybody else? They heard the same message. I mean, Enoch and Noah preached the same message, probably. They heard the same message. So it wasn't the message. It wasn't that they didn't hear from God. It wasn't that the people around them weren't hearing from God. What was the difference? It was their response to the message that was the difference. Enoch and Noah responded with faith, and Enoch and Noah responded in obedience to God. You know, that's still true for you and I today. The message is the same. The information is virtually the same. It's our response that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in how we're going to follow in faith or where we're not going to follow in faith. It's supposed to respond to God in faith. Although Noah was building an ark and preaching that the rain was coming, God, through Noah, was supplying for the people the way out of sin. And they couldn't take it, or they wouldn't take it. You know, we have a similar message today. One day, it could be a long time in the future, it could be tomorrow. We don't know. We've not been told. But God's going to bring an ending to the world as we know it. God's going to send His Son back, Jesus. And that's going to set off a chain of events that will definitely change the course of the world. And it's all based upon how we live and how, what happens to us has to do with how we respond in faith to God through His Son Jesus. Whether or not we have believed that Jesus came long ago and died on the cross, making the payment for our sins and resurrected out of the grave, showing that He has the power to conquer the consequences of our sin and give us eternal life. See, how we respond to that determines what we're going to meet when Jesus returns. Whether or not we'll believe or not. Does your faith have the ability to see the invisible? The invisible means of God. Do you have the faith to believe that God is? That God is who He is. And there's where life rests. Life that we enjoy now, but also life for eternity. Do you have a faith in God that builds a set of confidence that you have or you will rearrange your life in response to what God is telling you or where God is calling you? What's sad is some of us, and some of us sitting here and listening right now, you can't. And you're not going to because you can't see it. You see, if God wanted to do something new in your life, if God wanted to do something new in your family, if God wanted to do something new in the life of the church, you would probably end up working against it. Because you can't see it. And you've replaced faith with things like comfort and selfishness and what I like and what I don't like. It still spells lack of faith. Do you have a faith that can take you to the invisible? To take you where you can't see where you're going to land? Well, God would never do that. God's never acted like that before. He's never done like that anything in my life before. He's never done anything like that with my family or my church. Well, God and Enoch were out one day together, and God said, Enoch, don't go home tonight. Go to my house. And nobody saw him ever again. He told Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark because a flood's coming. And rain's going to fall from the sky. He never done that before. See, God did do it. God continues to do it. And in those days, some were saved and many were lost. See, when we operate in faith, many are saved. When we don't operate in faith, many are lost. So I'm asking you today, you take the step of faith with God. You take the step of faith with God that's with your life for now and eternity, and believe that through Christ, sin has been paid for. You take the step of faith with God, not knowing where you're going to land, but you believe God. And you're willing to walk into the invisible because you trust Him, you love Him, and you're going to be obedient. Let's pray together. God, I thank You for guys like Enoch and Noah. And I thank You, God, that You had some guys write down their life so that we could learn thousands of years later about faith and following You. So God, I pray that the things that we've read, we've discussed, what Your Spirit's saying to each of us now, God, we would have the courage to step up and walk in faith with You, just like Enoch did. Just like Noah did. No matter what it is that You're going to ask of us, no matter where it might be that You're leading us, God, we're going to, our answer is yes already, because we trust You and we love You and we want to be obedient and follow in faith. So God, over these next few moments when we sing about trusting in You and how sweet it is, God, let it come alive to us and let it be real. So much so that, God, we take the step in believing and following. So God, draw us to you while we sing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. You come. You follow in faith as God's directing and calling you to. To bow in prayer just for another moment or so, and as you pray, where have you seen the evidences of God's activity? Well, son, I've proved you over and over again, God. Allow that proving to encourage you to take this next step of faith wherever God is leading and asking. That you can say to God, yes, before you even ask. Because you've seen, you know, you believe. God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the life that we have again through your Son Jesus and now through the working of your Spirit. God, truly, truly, help us to see just the next step. Increase our faith to the point that we say yes to you when you even start to speak or even before. Because again, God, we want to show your glory. We want to see you. We want to walk in faith with you. God, as we continue now in giving, bless as we give. Again, that it's an exercise of faith that we're believing that, one, that you're going to use it to help others to know you, but also, God, that you're going to supply what we need as we give. We're trusting you. So God bless. And we'll give you glory and honor and praise. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated while we give.